In the name of God, the merciful, the compassionate, hello and welcome to Peer Home with me, Sahar Haqju. Well, the Quran says, and among his signs is this, that he created for you mates from among yourselves, that you may dwell in tranquility with them, and he has put love and mercy between your hearts. That is from Surah 30, verse 21. Well, it's an indisputable fact that the Quran guides us in every aspect of our lives. Of course, the family is the core and the pillar of society, so it's, well, there's no doubt that the Quran guides us, as long as telling us what to do in our families, with our spouses, our children, and family in general. We'll be starting a series today that will continue about once a month or so, covering the Quranic family. And of course, we'll have our other informative segments, so stay with us. Well, joining us in our London studio is Dr. Saheb Mustaqim Blair, born in Heidelberg, Germany. Professor Dr. Saheb Mustaqim Blair is the founder of the member of the Islamic Party of Britain, as well as the editor of the party magazine Common Sense. He is a professor of applied linguistics and translation and is a member of the Chartered Institute of Linguistics and of the Chartered Institute of Journalists in the UK. He has translated several titles of Islamic literature from Arabic to German and authored several books in English. Dr. Blair is known for his dynamic lectures and pamphlets dealing with topics on education, Islamic economics, politics, Muslim strategy, and other issues of contemporary interest. Dr. Blair, assalamu alaikum and welcome to the program.
Assalamu alaikum.
Well, it's great to have you. So we'll dive right into our discussion about the Quranic family. And we'll start off generally by asking, why should we use the Quran as our role model in our families?
Well, the Quran, of course, right from the beginning tells us that it's been sent as a guidance, and it is kind of our map, our satellite navigation through life. And essentially, we use it as guidance for everything. So a family life is a greater part of the lives we live. It's the essence of our life. It's what is the building block of society. And naturally, if we want to use the Quran as guidance in society, we also need to use the Quran as guidance with our family.
Mm-hmm. And how does the Holy Quran guide Muslims towards having a better family life? Let's just repeat the question. Dr. Blair, how does the Holy Quran guide Muslims towards having a better family life?
Well, the Quran essentially... Sorry, I did lose the voice there for a moment, so I couldn't hear your question first time. The Quran essentially provides us with information, with examples, with stories of people who have gone before us. It gives us ideas of what we should strive for. It helps us deal with issues, with problems, through the ups and downs of life, through illness, through good times, through poverty, through wealth. The Quran trains us to deal with life situations, to be prepared for life situations, to understand what is happening around us. And of course, this is lived out in the family. This is what we teach children. This is what we learn. This is what we pass on. And the Quran is an excellent guide and training manual that if we apply it, we will find our task of making sense of our surroundings, as well as passing on something meaningful to our children. We will find it a lot more effective and a lot more easy if we follow that Quranic guidance.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, then when we come back from our break, we'll focus on the ayah that we did read at the beginning of the program. So we'll take a break and we'll be back.
The Distressed Man. The Prophet said the morning prayer with people in the mosque. It was getting light, and the faces of people could be easily recognized. Meanwhile, the Prophet saw a young man who didn't seem to feel well. He couldn't hold his head straight, and his head moved to sides all the time. The Prophet looked more carefully at him. His face looked pale, his eyes looked hollow, and his body was so thin. The Prophet asked him, "How are you?" "O Prophet, I am reaching certainty." Certainty has some effects in each person which shows its quality. What are the effects of your certainty? My certainty is the same thing which has caused me pain. It has made me sleepless at nights, and I spend the days in thirst. I have turned my back on the world and whatever is in it, and I have turned my face towards something else. It seems as if I can see the Lord's heaven on the day of resurrection. It seems as if I can see the dwellers of paradise in felicity and the dwellers of the hell in great torment. It seems as if I can hear the sound of the hell's flames right now. The Prophet looked at people and said, "This is a person whose heart God has enlightened with the light of faith." Then he looked at the young man and said, "Try to remain in such a good feeling." The man said, "O Prophet, please pray for me so that God would endow me with the opportunity of jihad and martyrdom." The Prophet prayed for him. After a while, there occurred a jihad, and the man attended it. The 10th person who was martyred in that jihad was the same young man.
Back to the program. Well, before the break, we spoke about the Quranic family and why or how the Quran guides us towards having a good and tranquil family. We have Dr. Blair in London joining us. And our next question, so we want to go back to chapter 30, verse 21 of the Quran, and speak about that verse. Now, can you elaborate a little bit on the verse that says, He created for you mates from among yourselves?
Yes, of course, the ayat needs to be seen in context with the one that goes before it and after it. Here we have a series of verses where Allah tells us about signs of His power and of His mercy to us. And in that He tells us to start with that man was created from dust. So we all have a common origin. Adam was created from dust, Eve was created from Adam, and the rest of humanity from the two of them. So that is very important to start with. So when after that Allah tells us that He created for you from yourselves companions, meaning of your own kind. If you look at the ayat behind it as well, so we get a better perspective, He then tells us later there's different languages. So there is a difference we have in our appearances, in our communication, different races, different languages, yet we are of the same origin. So those differences do not deflect from the fact that we have commonalities that go beyond it. So in this specific ayat, we now see that there is a similar meaning in the sense that also we are different. Man and woman are different. They complement each other and they share a common origin, and in spite of their differences are of the same kind. And what Allah then says in the ayat is that He has in that bond of marriage placed between them love and mercy. Now love and mercy are two complementary concepts that have quite an importance in how a marriage should be conducted.
Okay, and well, I guess we can start with this question, maybe continue onwards if there's more to cover. But so we know that everybody's trying to attain tranquility in today's modern world, this tumultuous lives that we lead. And how and in what way can the family be the source of tranquility?
Love and mercy then, because if these factors are present in a family and if they govern the relationship, and if they govern the way we bring up our children, then that tranquility will be there. If these constituents, these foundations are not there, then there is an imbalance. You see that in modern life, where people actually enter relationships out of passion, out of desire, but the mercy element isn't there. So people enter a relationship because of its perceived benefit without the necessary commitment. Love, in a way, if we look at the word, implies an affection and an attraction. But mercy, the word comes from, rahma comes from the womb. It is the kind of feeling a mother has for a child. Even if the child is not complying with the wishes of the mother does not abandon the child, the mother does not feel any kind of hatred for the child, but in that mercy wants the best for the child and steers the child into the right direction. Now the same is between married couples. Love is not enough to sustain a marriage. There also has to be that element of mercy, that willingness to forgive, that readiness to see each other through hard times, that readiness to stick with each other in spite of differences and even disagreements. And only when that is the case, and then secondly, when people refer back to the guidance of Islam and the Quran in those differences, in taking decisions, only then can a family be based on a sound foundation that actually produces a healthy family environment.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you, Mr. Blair. We have more questions, of course, for you. And we'll take a break. And when we come back, it's time for From Here and There.
Thank you.
Well, it's time for From Here and There with my colleague, Mahdi Golzadeh. He has all sorts of interesting facts for us, sometimes websites, medical revelations, and so on. We'll see what he has for us today. Mr. Golzadeh, over to you.
Thank you, Ms. Arju. Well, hello, dear viewers, and welcome to this part of the program, From Here and There. Well, I had many articles on coffee before, so I wanted to answer some of your questions. Now, the first one is coffee addictive? Well, caffeine is considered a safe ingredient. It is a stimulant that excites the nerve cells of the brain. Unlike nicotine, you aren't likely to become addicted to caffeine if you consume it in moderation. Too much of it, though, might make you feel like you're dependent on it. Without it, you might get a headache, have difficulty concentrating, or even muscle pain. Now, the second question, how much should I drink? Well, between 200 and 300 milligrams of caffeine, which is the amount in 2 to 3 cups of coffee. Now, what are the benefits? Well, consumed in moderation, it may reduce your risk of diabetes, Parkinson's disease, and liver disease, to name a few. Now, the fourth question was, what about having coffee when pregnant? Well, experts say that pregnant women should have no more than 2 cups a day. However, some studies have linked a high intake of caffeine to increased risk of miscarriage and decreased fetal growth, but there's no solid proof yet. My advice is that don't take the risk. Now, number 5, can mothers transmit caffeine to their babies in breast milk? Well, babies can indeed get a dose of caffeine from their mother's milk. If taken too much, it can cause problems such as poor sleeping, nervousness, irritability, and poor feeding. Welcome back. Now, continuing with the questions. Now, someone asked, how long do the effects of caffeine last? Well, it takes 5 to 6 hours for your body to eliminate just half the caffeine in a cup of coffee, which is why having a cup in the afternoon can affect your sleep. And in people who are more sensitive to caffeine, the effects may last even longer. Now, can caffeine aggravate symptoms of anxiety? Well, according to National Institute of Mental Health, anyone suffering from anxiety disorders should avoid caffeine because it can aggravate symptoms, which include exaggerated worry and tension. Now, there was another one which says, some say that taking caffeinated beverages makes them dehydrated. Well, caffeinated beverages do not generally contribute to dehydration. In the short term, caffeine may have a mild diuretic effect in people who do not normally consume caffeine, but that shouldn't be an issue. Now, this was an interesting question. Can you overdose on caffeine? Well, deaths from caffeine overdose are rare, but they can be caused by convulsions or an irregular heartbeat. The amount of caffeine considered to be an overdose varies by a person's size, age, and gender. But in general, doses of greater than 10 grams can be fatal in adults. Now, a typical cup of coffee has about 115 milligrams of caffeine, so you'd need to drink more than 85 cups to kill yourself. Now, the last one is, taking caffeine considered doping? Because high doses of caffeine can enhance physical performance. Studies have shown that it can increase muscle endurance during brief and intense exercise. So athletes are not allowed to consume high doses of caffeine. Welcome back. Now, Islamic Finder. Well, this is a site containing almost everything to know about Islam. It's got articles on Islam itself, history and biography, Quran and Hadith, the biography of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, fiqh and fatwa, about the Muslim family, education, organizations, news and media, and many, many more, like supplications, Ramadan, Hajj and Umrah. And it's got prayer times for all the countries around the world. And it's both in Arabic and English. It has links to other sites as well, so you definitely find what you want. And you can also download apps as well, like Azan software for PC or your smartphone, like your iPhone or Android smartphone. Other things as well, like thousands of photos, which you can use as wallpapers. Anyway, check it out for yourself. Its address is www.islamicfinder.org. Well, that was it from me. I hope you enjoyed this part of the program from here and there. As usual, you can visit us at sahartv.ir. You could email us as well at pureholm@sahartv.ir. You can also call us directly on 0098-2122-16287 or 0098-2122-16285. Back to you, Ms. Akhju.
Thank you, Mr. Godzadeh. As usual, interesting and informative. Well, now it's time for our report for today.
This is the 56th gallery of my works, which is held in Echo Cultural Institute. I have been creating works with the theme of bird for 40 years. At first, my works were based on the poems of Maulavi, the world-famous figure of Persian literature. Then I started to work based on Attar's poems. As you know, Attar was one of the greatest mystics of Iranian literature. For a while, I worked based on Manteghut-Tayr by Attar Nishaburi, which is a well-known literary masterpiece in the world. As I gained more experience, I dared to write titles for my works myself. Currently, the titles of my works belong to me.
Born in 1947 in Tehran, Taha Behbahani is a famous Iranian painter, sculptor, set designer, TV and theater director, and a university professor with more than 40 years of experience. His works are preserved in 65 private collections in the United States, France, Germany, Japan, Dubai, Netherlands, Switzerland, England, Australia, and others.
As you know, Baird has a special importance in our literature, such as in the works of Abu Ali Sina and more importantly in Manteghut-Tayr by Attar. In fact, Baird is considered as a legend in our literature. Sometimes Baird is a leader and sometimes it is led. Sometimes it is a disciple, sometimes it is a follower, and sometimes it is followed. In fact, in Iranian literature, Baird is the symbol of a magnanimous person who endures all difficulties to reach his goal. The intimacy of Baird and human in literature is a very interesting issue.
bird is the only creature which is envied by human. A person who feels homesick or is imprisoned becomes interested in flying and getting free when he sees birds flying in the sky. This feeling has always accompanied human beings during the history. For the same reason, bird has a special importance in literature.
He has participated in 55 solo and group exhibitions in his home country and abroad, and has displayed his works under the title The Birds of Taha since 1971. The first volume of his book, The Birds of Taha, includes pictures of his works created during 1972 to 1995. Two documentaries have also been made on his life and work.
This is my second exhibition, which is exclusively dedicated to bronze sculptures. As you know, bronze sculptures are very popular because working with bronze and the process of creating bronze sculptures is more difficult in comparison with other metals. I have presented my themes with my perspective about Iranian mystic literature in the form of bronze sculptures of birds. In this exhibition, 43 sculptures are put on display. I'm glad that ordinary people and ministers and diplomats of different countries who are in Iran now have shown interest in my exhibition.
Welcome back. Well, if you've just tuned in, we're speaking about the Quranic family with Dr. Blair in London. Dr. Blair, given your personal experience of raising a pretty big family of five children and nine grandchildren, can you tell us a little bit about what it's like, or how the Muslims in the West can use the Quran as a role model in their lives to attain that peace and tranquility that we all seek?
Well, in trying to do that, let me start with paying tribute to Prophet Muhammad, peace be with him, that he was the perfect role model, who was a family man. At the same time, he was a leader of the society. He was a general in the army. He was the head of government. He combined so many different roles and balanced them perfectly. We are unable to compete with that. When we try to balance, there's a lot of talk in the West about work-life balance. When we try to balance our working life and our family life, usually it's one at the expense of the other, and it is quite difficult to do that. Now, we got to realize that it's easier when we have a stable family. If the family itself is at risk, if there is doubt about the commitment people have to each other, then it's even more difficult, just like it's very difficult to perform well at work if you think your job is on the line and you're going to lose it. So the importance for a good balanced family life is that there is clarity. There has to be clarity about who plays what role, who is in charge of what, who fulfills which task. Without that clarity, and of course this may adjust over time, As we progress through different stages in life, these things may adjust and be rebalanced. But if there is a lack of clarity, then it becomes difficult. Children, for example, naturally, when they grow up, as they become adolescents in their teenage years, they will test authority. They will change their attitude to their parents from one of simply admiring and listening and following to one of challenging and questioning. And parents have to adjust accordingly. And then again, when you have grandchildren, your role is a completely different one. So these things do change, but at each time there has to be, after some renegotiation, a clear idea of who plays what role. If that isn't clear, then we have problems. After all, a family is a place where people are thrown together in a confined space for a long, long time. If I go to work, I spend some time with some people and then I leave, and I leave them alone. I don't spend all my time with those people. But in a family, there is no getting away from it. You are always with your children, with your partner, with your grandchildren. And so it is a much more intense environment where if something goes wrong, it can go terribly wrong. Whereas if it goes right, it can be the foundation for great success elsewhere.
Definitely. And how does that keep the children, going back to the love and the mercy, love and the mercy between the partners, how does that keep the children firm in the home, making them want to come back and seek refuge in that family?
Well, for children, the family is the safe environment. When they go out, they're faced with new challenges. When they go to school or anywhere else, they're faced with uncertainty and they have to cope. Now, the family is their safe environment. It is where they retreat, where they gather strength, where they always know they are welcome, they are loved, and they can feel comfortable. And that is the ideal situation. Now, if that situation isn't there, if the child is unsure, if the child doesn't feel at home safe, because there is arguments between the parents, or there is violence, domestic violence between the parents, or parents let out their frustrations on their children, and so on and so forth. So if there isn't that kind of safety and comfort, then the child will also have difficulties in the wider world to compete with other children, to adjust to other children, to relationships and so on. Likewise, if a child doesn't have the necessary role models of both a father and a mother, that child will be disadvantaged. If a child is part of a one-parent family or a broken-down family, or a child in a family where they have multiple parents, as it were, because their one partner remarried and there's other children, they remarried again, and the complexities can confuse a child and lead to problems in later life. So it is essential, and of course that is the ideal situation. The ideal situation does not always exist, but we strive towards the ideal. The ideal situation is that there is a stable family where a mother and a father work together in the interest of the children.
I understand. So I think just to emphasize on your points, so the first one you said was that if everyone focuses on their roles, so everyone is aware of the roles that they play in that family, and then again, that love and mercy for the children to come back to the family and look for that and rely on the family for that happiness and that peace. Okay, thank you, Dr. Blair. We'll take a break and we'll be back. Have an email from a dear viewer, Shujat Hussain. Here, Mr. Hussain says, Salams, I very much enjoy Persian cuisine. Is it possible to teach some Iranian dishes so that people in this end of the world can learn too? Other traditional edibles like pastries would be nice too. May blessings of Allah be upon you. Shajat Hussain, we thank you so much for writing to us. It really warms our heart to know that you are watching and that you have an interest in Persian cuisine. Unfortunately, I'm not a great cook, so I can't teach much, but we do hope that we can expand our program and perhaps teach Persian cuisine, foods, pastries, all sorts of interesting stuff. I would really, really like that. Maybe I can learn something myself. And keep writing. We'll try to definitely, all of your comments, your suggestions, we'll take them into consideration and we'll try to carry out anything that we can. And in the near future, who knows, maybe we will add an extra addition in that area. And yep, so thank you so much for your comments.
Glory, born of treasure, symbol of power, source of pleasure, land of glory, born of treasure, symbol of power, source of pleasure, will it for you, whatever you wish, will it for you, whatever you wish, oh,
welcome back to the program. Dr. Blair, we're nearing the end of our discussion about the chronic family. And finally, we just want to wrap up, Dr. Blair, in the last 3 minutes or so of the program. Can you sum up and give us a conclusion?
Well, I think what is important to remember is that children in a family, they look up to their parents and they learn by imitation. So it's not good enough to teach them Quran and Islamic ways of life. It is important to live those principles. If they see an angry parent, they tend to develop an angry personality. If they see a depressed parent, they probably become depressed. If they see their parents praying, they tend towards prayer. So the first and foremost thing for parents to do is to live by example, to set an example for their children to follow and aspire to be a good role model. And secondly, to prepare them for the life out there, not just with regard to job prospects. For example, we want our children to do well in the world, but we also want them to do well in the hereafter. So we need to focus on developing their personality and make sure that they are confident, compassionate, that they are that they have all those qualities that we know are good qualities for life, and not just focus on their material success in the society in which we live. So if parents can focus on that, I think we pass on the baton to the next generation, and we are the people who make sure that the next generation may enjoy a better society, a better life, and that is the purpose of the family.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Dr. Blair. So basically, we want to start off, Allah has given us that love and mercy that we need to expand on, that we need to learn from the Quran, become good role models, and teach our children, like you said, lead by example, so that they have a great role model, and then they can use that to fight all the corruption or anything in society, all the hardships that they face outside in society, those struggles, to come back and seek refuge in that tranquil and peaceful home. Thank you so much, Dr. Blair, for being with us and enlightening us about the Quranic family.
Thank you very much for having me on the program.
Wonderful. To all of our viewers, we'd like to remind you to email us purehome@sahartv.ir. And also, don't forget, tell us where you're writing from. We'd like to know. And do send us your comments, your suggestions. We appreciate them. Also, go on our website, sahartv.tv. Check out our programs. We'd love to have your comments. And keep tuning in. And thanks so much for inviting us into your Pure Home. Until next time, goodbye and God bless.